Good morning. Glad that you're here today. We're going to be in Matthew 21. We're going to be looking about the first 17 verses of that chapter. I hope you've got a Bible and will turn with me there. And we will be looking at that text, kind of unpack that this morning. And if you don't have a Bible, there should be one on a pew in front of you, hopefully, if somebody hadn't beat you to it. We are having a few issues. We had VBS this week, and I don't know if we blew the microphone or the system up, but we've had a few issues with our sound system this week. I'm supposed to have some folks come out and take a peek at it, so if I cut in and out this morning, I'm just going to keep going, all right? So don't think you're going to get off easy, other than if you're at the back, you may not have to listen to me. Matthew chapter 21, we're going to talk this morning about four powerful prayer requests, and just some of the things that we request. We ask some strange things in this world. We've made strange requests to our spouse. We've asked for some odd things. There have been times in our lives our kids have come to us and they've asked something. We'd go, why in the world are you asking that? There are times when we ask God some things that I imagine that God may sit back and go, why are you, you know, He knows our hearts, He knows why we ask what we ask, but I wonder sometimes, I've told y'all before, I prayed one time with a couple of little girls who came to church on a Wednesday night. They were both in tears, and they came up, and I asked them, I said, what's wrong, girls? And they said, we lost our dog. And a little girl, the youngest of the two, and would have been about a sixth grader and about a third grader. Youngest of the two, the sisters, couldn't even talk. She was so upset. I was glad they came anyway, but I thought I'd do my preacherly duty. And we kind of got off over in the corner, and I got down on one knee, and we held hands, and I said, let's pray about this, all right? And so we bowed our heads, and we prayed, and I asked the Lord to help them to find their dog and bring their dog back, and all the things that, you know, what you pray with kids, you're supposed to pray. And I didn't more than finish, and that oldest girl looked over at me. She said, our dog's not lost as in lost. He's dead. And we don't want him to come back. And I thought, wait, you know, here I was, and I'd asked the Lord to bring that dead dog right back to him, and they had really got confused about that. We ask some strange things, but, you know, there are some things that we do ask that I think are great things to ask. And I'm going to challenge you this morning. I'm going to give you four things that I'd like sometime this week, maybe every day this week, to you to ask God, to pray to God about. And I promise you, if you spend some regular time in prayer asking God about these four things, I will honestly say from the bottom of my heart that I believe some things will change in your life. I don't know how they'll change. Some of them may be for the better. Some of them may be for the worse, and we'll talk about that. But I know prayer can change things. We talked about that last week, and as we continue on, there are some things that we're going to learn about with prayer that you're going to find can really change you. And there's four things in our text this morning I want us to look at that we can learn from and go, man, I need to be praying about these things. I need to be praying about those things. So let's pick up Matthew chapter 21 and let's look at the story and let's see some things that we're going to talk to God about, all right? Matthew 21. We oftentimes talk about the triumphal entry. This is a few days before Jesus' death. He is coming to town. And take note, as they approached Jerusalem, they came to Bethpage, the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two disciples saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell them that the Lord needs them, and He will send them right away. Now that's kind of interesting right there, isn't it? Jesus tells the apostles, says, hey, go get this donkey and the colt and bring them to me. And if anybody asks what you need them for, just tell them I need them. All right? And they'll let you have them. Now, if I was today to come and find you somewhere and say, hey, I need you to run over to such and such address in the southeast part of town, you're going to find, and you search until you find a car with keys in it. And when you get it, when you find one, you bring that car to me. And if anybody asks what you're doing, just tell them I need it. You'd be going, I am not doing such a thing. And yet Jesus said, just tell them the Lord needs it. So here's what takes place. They go and do exactly what? Verse 6. The disciples went and Jesus instructed them. Verse 7, they brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on him. And Jesus sat on them, and a very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the road and spread them on the road. And the crowds went along with him, and they followed shouting. So here's Jesus entering into Jerusalem. Now, he is on the young colt, another pretty miraculous thing. Next Saturday, I think we'll have a parade here in town. And if you'll ever notice, they put all the livestock of those in the parade, all those riding horses and some of them riding donkeys, they put them at the back, far away from all the noise. They don't want the horse right up next to the ambulance, or it'd be exciting. That'd be a fun parade to attend because everybody would be saying, "Where's the ambulance?" They put them back by themselves. But here is a time in which Jesus is getting up on a donkey that has not been ridden, and he's climbing on, and people are yelling and throwing stuff on the road, and yet the young colt does exactly what he's supposed to do. Here's what they cry: "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and began to ask, "Who is this?" And the crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth." Amazing story. Jesus comes into town. People are cutting. People are laying their coats out, their cloaks. They're putting the branches down as Jesus comes in, and they're hollering, "Hosanna." Anybody have a clue what Hosanna means? Here's the first thing that I want you to pray about this week on a powerful prayer. Hosanna actually means "save us." The idea here is they're hollering, "Lord, save us. God, save us." First thing that you could spend time praying about this week is, "Lord, save us." Now, the interesting thing about this text is this is not a one-time thing. Hosanna and saying "save us" doesn't mean that, hey, that happened once in your life when you were 11 years old and you came to the front and you confessed the Lord and you were baptized to your sins. That's not what this is saying. This is saying this is a continual prayer that we pray all the time. "Lord, save us." Now, a lot of us come time through life and we don't say this very often unless something big happens. Something bad happens, and then we're hollering, "Lord, save us. We really need your help right now." And here the text gives us the idea that this is a continual thing we're praying to God. Not because, hey, we're not saved constantly by God, that we're not saved when we became a... The idea here is, God, save us, because we cannot save ourselves. We live in the most powerful country in the world. And we've become people who do it ourselves. We don't like to rely on anybody for anything. And people, I've heard it millions of times, people going, "I hate to ask for help, but..." There's just something that we've become people who just say, "I don't want outside help. I want to do this myself." Well, let me tell you something about saving. Only God can save you. There is no, unless you put your faith in Him and say, "Boy, I need outside help," it ain't going to happen. Because it's only God that can do that. Hosanna means "save us." I cannot save myself. And it's not a one-time statement you make when you become a Christian. It is an everyday prayer when you pray to God going, "God, I desperately need you." We struggle sometimes because when we become those people who just think we can do things ourselves, a lot of times there comes times when we have to hire the specialists, you know, those like guys when you try to do some plumbing on your own and you finish making it worse than what it was when you started, or you try, like I've done oftentimes, to fix something on a vehicle and I wind up breaking not only what was broke more, but something else in the meantime, and I'm having to call somebody who can help me out on this. You can't fix yourself when it comes to salvation. God is the specialist. He's the one who can help. And we become people who are options people. We get tons of options in everything we do every day. Recently booked some tickets on a flight, and I just simply said, "I'm leaving here, I'm flying here."
and it pulled up my options. I had like 40 options of how I wanted to go, when I wanted to leave, where I wanted to stop, how long I wanted to stop, when I wanted to arrive, if I wanted to arrive in the morning, if I wanted to arrive at night. And I mean, it took hours to dig through the options of how you want it. We become options people. Lots of options about everything. We become people who've got options on this and options on that. I heard people discussing, and you've probably been at this. I thought this was excellent. I heard some people discussing this week whether in the bathroom the paper rolls over the toilet roll or it rolls under the toilet paper roll. One person was going, it's got to go over. It's got to go. The other one was going, it's under is the correct way that you put the toilet paper roll in the back. And I'm going, as long as it's there, I don't care. You know, I like it a certain way. There are certain people that like their toilet paper a certain way. And that's okay. Options. There's some folks that have toothpaste, and man, you come in and you squeeze a toothpaste in the middle instead of squeezing it from the end, and you are in big trouble because there are certain ways they do certain things. Let me tell you something. When it comes to options for saving us, you don't have any. You have none. It's all God. He is the only option you've got. You don't have a choice between this or that or this or here. It's only God. And here the people, as they come into town, here's Jesus riding in and they're hollering, save us, save us. I think, and that leads us to our second point, I really think sometimes we would understand what it meant to save us, and we would pray more often about saving us if we just knew how dirty we really were. And that's kind of where the next prayer comes in, of cleanse us. Yeah, I think it's a great idea to say, Lord, save us. We need you to save us. But some of us, I think, we become people who think, well, I know I'm bad. I know I sin, but I'm not as bad as everybody else. And that's where the next part comes in. Look at the story as we continue on. Verse 12, Jesus entered the temple area. This would have been their church, although it's not called that, but this would have been kind of a church area where people were. And he drove out all those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of money changers and the benches of those selling doves. And he said, it is written, he said to them, this house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers. This was Passover time. This was big. Everybody was coming to the temple. And you know what takes place? People were saying, hey, we might can make some money off of people coming to the temple. And one of the ways that they did it, actually there were a couple of ways that Jesus was frustrated about. One of the ways was the money changers were people who, when you came from a different nation, when you came from a different place where they had different money, you would have to exchange money. And they were cheating people with saying, hey, yeah, I'll change your money so that you can buy a sacrifice, but it is going to cost you. I won't give you an even trade. I'm going to make some money off of it. If you've ever been to another country, when we go to Mexico City, every time we've gone, I've gone three times, and every time we stop at the same place at the border, because supposedly they give you a fair deal. And you stop in there, and you write out your stuff and say, I want to change 100 U.S. dollars into pesos. And they will exchange your money for you, and they have to give you a fair deal because, one, they're here in America, and they would be in trouble if they didn't. There are places, though, that you can go if you wait and you go down to Mexico and you try to change money down there. They're not going to give you an honest exchange rate. Here they were. These people were in God's temple. And they were making money, being dishonest with folks coming in who had traveled from a distance. And they were being dishonest with people going, here, give me your money and I'll take your money and I'll sell you some doves. But you're going to lose a huge amount of your profit or your money on this because you've got to do this. There's no other way. The other thing that they were doing was not only were they not selling, their doves, One of the things a poor offered was a dove. And it wasn't, God asked for sacrifices that were unblemished. And they oftentimes would offer, they'd say, hey, look, all you've got money for are these doves, and one's got a broke wing or one's got something wrong with it. And God was, and Jesus comes in and says, this isn't right. And he starts turning over tables. And you see a Jesus you hadn't seen yet, right? And he's turning over tables and he's going, this isn't happening in here. I guess the thing that I want you to catch for a second, as you think about it for a second, as we're thinking about cleansing us, and as we pray, Lord, cleanse us, what is it that Jesus would walk into your life today and turn over and say, this isn't good? These poor people were being taken advantage of because they didn't have any other options. If you've ever been to the movies, you know when you go to the movies, if you want a drink, it's going to cost, a 75-cent drink is going to cost you $3. And a bucket of popcorn that'll generally cost you $1 is going to cost you about $5. If you've ever been to a ballpark, you're going to realize that you've got to give one of your kids, here's a $10 bill, go buy yourself one Coke and one hot dog, and that's all you got because that $10. Why do they do that? Because you have no options there, and they can do that to you. And that's what they were doing. And it made the Lord unhappy. Now, what we've got to see is, what is it in my life? What is it that God would turn over in my life? If you've got your Bibles open, keep your finger right there and go to 2 Corinthians 7 in an absolutely amazing verse. Second Corinthians 7 and verse 1. Since we have these promises, talking about everything that he's just mentioned, let us purify ourselves from anything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. Since God has blessed you the way you have, and since you've become one of His children, you need to purify yourself from anything that's in you that's unclean. You need to be cleansed. Sometimes I think if we could actually open ourselves up where people could see what we look like on the inside, not the real insides, but the spiritual insides, we might see just how bad we really look. And we can dress up this morning and we can look good and we can sing well, but our sinfulness is something that we need to ask the Lord, cleanse us. Remove anything. Turn something over in my life if that's what it takes. Drive out anything that is unclean. It may look like fun to us. I remember one of our kids one time when I changed a diaper. You know them diapers sometimes with kids. Whew, it was not a good diaper. And I remember setting it over to the side and I was trying to put on a new clean diaper. And he had reached over and grabbed the old diaper and picked it up and started trying to chew on it because that's what kids do. And you did exactly what you're supposed to do. I was going, oh no, that's horrible. Don't do, put that back where it goes right there. You don't want that. That's nasty, In life, we become people sometimes that we look around the things of this world that are unclean to God, and it's like grabbing our own filth when God says, you don't need that. What we need is to be cleansed. Look at the next one. I love verse 15 and 16. Well, the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children were shouting in the temple, all right? I mean, this is like, hey, you don't yell during church.
But they were. They start yelling in the temple and they start saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. And the chief priests and the folks around there got mad at them, indignant, my Bible says. And they asked Jesus, do you hear what these children are saying? And he said, yes. Have you ever read from the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praised? A great prayer to pray this week would be, hear us. Here were these kids and they were hollering out praises to God and praises to Jesus. We need to give God praise. We did that this morning. I love the song we sang. I love all the songs we sang. I love the, we bow down. You are Lord of creation and Lord of my life. You told God that this morning. He heard you say that. God has asked that we praise Him. That we give Him honor. Not because He's up there going, hey, my self-image about myself is not good and I need to know who I am. It's because so that we can know who God is. And we're reminded that we bow down. He is Lord of our life, as the song goes. He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. And we need to praise Him. We need to find new ways to do it. Some of you say, well, what does that mean? What I'm saying is you need to find different things. Maybe it's not just through song. Maybe you can sit down and write out something beautiful to God in a letter. Maybe it's the lips. The Hebrew writer says, Hebrews 13, that you praise God with your lips. The very things that you say in the community on Monday, whether it be at the coffee shop, the beauty shop, the grocery store, are either praising God, you can use your words to praise God, say something good about God in the community. And we ask for God to hear us. I love Psalm 40. If you get time, you can write that one down. Read that today. David writes and he says, I was in trouble, Lord, and you heard me. And I will sing a new song. And you know what David's new song was? The idea is, here's, I'm going to be creative. I'm going to come up with some new things to say about you. When's the last time you sat down and came up with some new things to say about God? We want God to hear us say good things about Him. We want Him to know that He's going to have to save us because we've got to be saved, that we need Him to cleanse us. But we need to praise God for who He is. Sometimes we think God is the heavenly Santa Claus and we just come with Him with a big checklist of things that we'd like to have. The Bible tells us that in our prayer and in our life, we give God praise. That means we say good things about God. It's the last time you did that. God, hear us. And not just what we have to say, but we've got a God that's got an ear that listens for us. You want God's attention? Bow your head and pray. And you got it. I try. I've got 4 kids. It's tough sometimes to hear everything everybody's saying to you. I'll have times when somebody will be, man, everybody in the room is talking, and all of a sudden Leo will go, did you not hear what he just said? And I said, is he talking to me? And I'll have been somewhere else. And I'll say, what was it? Oh, never mind, Dad. You weren't listening. You never get a God who says, were you talking to me? I didn't catch that. Can you repeat that? We've got a God who hears. We've got a God who's not distracted. We've got a God who listens when we pray. And then look at the last one. Back up to verse 14. Jesus enters the temple. He gets off. He comes into town. He gets off his colt. He goes to the temple. The people are shouting. And he goes over and you know what he does? He begins to heal people. And he heals the lame, it says. Notice verse 14. It says, the blind and the lame came to him at the temple and he healed him. I think the prayer would be, use us. If we're going to be anything like Jesus, we're going to have to ask God to use us. Jesus met people's needs. When's the last time you prayed the prayer to use us? Use me, Lord. Put somebody in my life that I can bless, that I can help, that I can encourage today? When's the last time you opened your eyes as you went around town thinking, who is it that I can bless? Who is it that I can help today? Four powerful prayers. I'll say it. I started with it, and I'll say it at the end, and I'll end with it. I believe it. I believe with all my heart, if you start praying these prayers, if you'll add in your prayer time, save us, cleanse us, hear us, and use us, I promise you that will make a difference. Because God will do those things. God will use you. God will put you to work. God will place in you, in your life, somebody. God wants to use you. I don't know where you are in your relationship with God right now. Maybe you don't even have a relationship with God right now. The Bible says that without a relationship, that not coming through Jesus, there's no way to the Father except by me, Jesus said. Jesus said, if you'll confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. Have you ever said that? Have you ever said, I believe Jesus is God's Son? I believe that Jesus died for me. And then give your life to Him. Say, it's your life, Lord, not my life. And the Bible tells us that we're baptized for the forgiveness of our sins. Maybe you've done all those things and you just need a new start. Maybe you need a good start over. A good do-over. That's what my fourth grade teacher used to call it. Every time you'd get in trouble, she'd say, all right, I'm going to give you a do-over this time. Or maybe a little bit like one of my favorite guys in the world is a guy by the name of Bill Veeck. He was the owner of the Cleveland Indians baseball team. Won a championship with that team. The following year, when they were there to show folks they were the champions of the world, they started off 0-11. Horrible start. They had fans going crazy. There was fans that had gone up a flagpole and said, we're going to stay here until Cleveland gets its first win. About three losses later, they were going, how much longer do we have to be here? They had folks saying, I'm going to fast until we get our first win. They couldn't figure out how in the world. 0-11, the first wins for the championship Cleveland Indians. And the owner, you know what he did? After his 11th loss in a row, they had another opening day. He said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to bring back somebody. They're going to throw out the first pitch of the season, and we're going to start over and have a new start. We're going to pretend like we hadn't had those 11 losses. They had all the opening day ceremonies that they have the opening day. They had it the 12th game of the year, trying to figure out a way to start it all over. You know what happened? They won that game. They did. And they actually broke out of a slump, started winning games. While that's not important, what's important was here was a guy who had just enough thought to him that he said, we need a new start. We need a fresh start. We need a do-over. And he started over. You may need a fresh start in your life. There's been a lot of people in this world that's needed fresh starts. King David needed a fresh start. Jonah needed a fresh start after making some mistakes. The woman at the well needed a fresh start after a bunch of mistakes. A woman caught in adultery needed a fresh start and got one from Jesus. Peter needed quite a few fresh starts. Paul needed a fresh start. I'm going to guess that you and I need a lot of fresh starts too. If we can help you with that fresh start this morning, we want to encourage you to come while we stand and we sing this invitation song.